Welcome to that classic rock show on Huntley Community Radio, 101.5 FM. I'm Jim Samaria, and hey, who's that guy over there?
I'm Mark Plotnick, Jim's co-host. For 1 hour each week, Jim and I will highlight a different theme from the most prolific and memorable era for rock and roll music, the 1950s through the early 1980s.
Mark and I are authors of that amazing book, Classic Rock, Photographs from Yesterday and Today, which is published by Amherst Media and is available on Amazon now. It's available on Amazon now. It features my photography of classic rock and roll artists from 1973 to present day, with fun facts and trivia by the one and only Mark Plotnick.
Thank you.
You're welcome. On today's show, the South will rise again, musically speaking, that is.
Jim, I'm really pumped for this show. Jim is referring to the rise of Southern rock during the 1970s. It was a celebration of cultural pride and geography. Its popularity put the musical and cultural spotlight on the rural South and away from the British invasion and music trends coming from America's big cities.
Like New York, Los Angeles, and San Francisco, would you say?
That's right.
Okay. But as we discussed a few weeks ago on our Pioneers of Rock program, the roots of rock and roll were already planted down south. That's why Greg Allman said Southern rock was a redundant term, sort of like calling it rock. But whatever you call it, Southern rock was a prominent and successful form of rock music during the 1970s.
Southern rock was a musical jambalaya, and that's one of the reasons I love it. It has blues, it has Bakersfield country, rhythm and blues, honky-tonk, boogie, and even jazz. Improvisational jams and guitar rave-ups were a hallmark, but unlike the Grateful Dead, those jams were always tethered to a groove or a melodic hook. And some of Southern rock's esteemed guitarists were recognizable by their distinguishing guitar tone, technique, or phrasing. The same applied to vocalists such as Greg Allman, Ronnie Van Zant, Charlie Daniels, Doug Gray, and many others.
The de facto capital of the Southern rock was Macon, Georgia, home of Capricorn Records. It was the South's most successful independent recording label throughout the 1970s. And with the help of Jerry Wexler and Atlantic Records, Phil Walden co-founded the label after managing R&B acts such as Otis Redding, Sam and Dave, and Percy Sledge.
And Walden was only 29 when he launched Capricorn along with its flagship band, the Allman Brothers Band. But Jim, about this week's show, let's get the music and the bands that put Southern rock on the map.
Well, let's start with Marshall Tucker. They were officially formed in 1972 with all the original members hailing from Spartanburg, South Carolina. That's my Southern accent, South Carolina. And they're all part of, at one time or another, a band called the Toy Factory. No one in the band is named Marshall Tucker. They took their name from a local blind piano tuner when they saw his name inscribed on the key to their rehearsal space. They thought that's a cool name, Marshall Tucker. They were led by lead guitarist and main songwriter Toy Caldwell, who was also the leader of the band, the Toy Factory. And by the way, Mark, he was also a Purple Heart recipient during the Vietnam War.
Hmm.
On the advice of Jimmy Hall, who was the lead singer of Wet Willie, the band went to Macon, Georgia to perform live at a lounge for producer Paul Hornsby, who recorded a demo. Upon hearing that demo, Phil Walden of Capricorn Records signed the band, and they released their first album, The Marshall Tucker Band, in 1973. And one of the songs from that album is Take the Highway, which the current band, led by singer Doug Gray, still plays in concert today.
Thank you.
Man, that song just cooks. It's I just love that song. The band Marshall Tucker combined jazz, blues, and country, and consider their music progressive country. Yeah, you kind of heard the jazz influence on the flute solo there. And what I also like was Toy Caldwell. He creates a very distinctive sound by playing with his thumb and not a pick. He loved his Les Paul, and he picked that up from Chet Atkins. Mm.
And Jim, you know, the band always said that one of the highlights for them was playing at Jimmy Carter's inauguration in 1977. And actually, the Allman Brothers also campaigned for Jimmy Carter, who was born, as most people know, in Plains, Georgia.
Well, it must have helped. He won, right?
Yeah.
And Doug Gray also mentions what a great mentor Charlie Daniels was to them for over 50 years. He really helped him out in the beginning. We got another band coming up with an unusual story on how they got their name.
That's true.
What do you got, Mark?
All right. Well, Jim, I'm going to tell you, if my wife exiled me to a desert island, one of the albums I'd have in my suitcase would be from our next band. Lynyrd Skynyrd was named after a high school gym teacher who hassled students for their long hair, including two future members of the band. The band originated in Jacksonville, Florida around 1965, and for the next 12 years, the band's three constants were lead singer Ronnie Van Zant and guitarists Gary Rossington and Alan Collins. During those 12 years, all of the Skynyrd lineups made some excellent music, but for my money, their most potent lineups occurred between 1974 and 1977. The addition of keyboardist Billy Powell, bassist Leon Wilkeson, who you met, drummer Artemis Pyle, and guitarist Ed King and Steve Gaines transformed the band from a very good one into one that was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. The band was cut down in their prime, though, when the rickety airplane they chartered crashed in a Mississippi swamp in October of 1977. Three band members died, and survivors suffered severe physical injuries. And here's the sad part. Just 3 days prior to the crash, their highly successful studio album, Street Survivors, was released.
And, Mark, I don't know if you saw Artemis Pyle last time he was at the Arcata, but he told the very emotional story about the plane crash.
Yeah, it's amazing that he made it to get help. It's just...
If anyone could YouTube the story, they should do that.
Yeah.
Because it's like I said, very emotional, and he was a survivor, and he actually saved the band.
Yeah, he did.
So kind of paraphrasing the song here, Mark, do you like to drink and dance all night?
You got that right.
I don't know if I ever told you this, but I saw Lynyrd Skynyrd on their first tour. They backed up The Who way back in the early 70s, yeah. And I didn't pay them any attention, so what do I know?
Well, I saw them at Alpine Valley, and they were just every bit as good as I thought they were going to be. But the song we just heard was co-written and co-sung by guitarist Steve Gaines. Van Zandt was so impressed with the talent of his newest member that he felt the band's future actually lied with Steve Gaines. But along with Van Zandt, Gaines and his backup singing sister died in the crash. The 1977 Street Survivors album was the band's most adventurous studio recording to date. And along with Skynyrd's triple guitar attack, the musical arrangements included horns and the flawless backing vocals by Cassie Gaines, JoJo Billingsley, and Leslie Hawkins, better known as the Honkettes.
Honkettes, I like that
yeah,
song.
Yeah, they were excellent. I had to get their names in. So you are listening to That Classic Rock Show on Huntley Community Radio, WHRU LP 101.5 FM, and available on demand 24/7. Just go to the station's website. Jim, what is up next for Sounds of the South?
Well, from gospel to country to all southern right. rock, few artists have left such a profound mark on American music than Charlie Daniels. Charlie is best known for being a fiddler, but he also could play guitar, violin, banjo, and he could sing too. And the man could write some great songs. He was raised in North Carolina and began his career playing bluegrass with the Misty Mountain Boys, which I think, Mark, you tried out for and didn't make that band either,
no,
right?
No, they threw me out the first day.
Yeah, they pointed to the door.
Yeah, like Jeff Beck.
That's right. Charlie has appeared on so many artist records, most notably Bob Dylan, Nashville Skyline album, Hank Williams Jr., and, of course, the Marshall Tucker Band. Now, here's our trivia question for you, Mark.
Okay.
Did you know that even Elvis recorded a song that Charlie wrote?
Oh, Jim, come on. Give me something tough. It was It Hurts Me, I think, which was the flip side of Kissin' Cousins.
Wow. Sorry. I didn't know you knew that one.
Well,
I forgot how smart you are.
Yeah, well, I didn't. I lied. I actually looked it up knowing you'd likely ask me
That's cheating. That's cheating.
Well, anyways.
Well, one of my favorite songs by the Charlie Daniels Band is Carolina from their 1976 album, High Lonesome. Piano player Taz Gregorio really gets to shine on this song. Mark, listen to his piano playing.
Yeah,
you really like
it. I love it. I love it.
Thank you.
another song that just cooks. Love it. Mark Charlie won many awards. He's a member of several Hall of Fames. He was also very patriotic. He was highly charitable, and he was a mentor to so many young artists. And I'm sure you know this. He was in a movie, Urban Cowboy, with John Travolta, where he played his number one country hit, The Devil Went Down to Georgia. Nice guy Charlie once said about his long career, and I hope all you young people pay attention to this. I love what I do. I look forward to entertaining people. It's a labor of love. I just thank God I make a living at what I enjoy doing.
Jim, our next Southern Rock act is known as that little old band from Texas. The trio took the stage together for the first time in February of 1970. They've been together ever since, and they hold the record for the longest running rock and roll band without personnel changes. ZZ Top is a bearded Billy Gibbons on guitar and vocals, bearded Dusty Hill on bass and vocals, and beardless Frank Beard on drums. In the early 1970s, ZZ Top were known for their mammoth stages shaped like the state of Texas. They had massive stacks of Marshall amps, along with bales of hay, wagon wheels, rattlesnakes, longhorn steers, wolves, and buzzards. How do you like that for a stage set? While playing their brand of blues, rock, and boogie, they set records for wattage used and concert revenues. But with the onset of the 80s and new wave music, ZZ Top fell out of fashion, but not for long. They went into marketing mode and added long beards, cheap sunglasses, fuzzy rotating guitars.
Oh, and by the way,
okay,
designed by our good friend Dean Zielinski.
That's right. Yep. That's right. And strange-looking hats and dance-inducing synthesizers set to 124 beats per minute. The synthesizer idea actually came from the band's Ministry and Depeche Mode. With the advent of MTV, ZZ Top reinvented themselves. In 1984, they were MTV's Band of the Year and earned top honors for Video of the Year. They were hot once again. So for today's ZZ Top selection, I'm going to go back to their pre-beer days in the 1973 album Tres Hombres. Here is the song Waiting for the Bus.
Have mercy. Been waiting for the best.
Stay tuned for part two of that classic rock show, The Rise of Southern Rock.